raised rowdy.
All right, it's Nikki T.
Hey, what up? I'm Kurt Elzon. Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast.
Our guest this week, Mr. Dylan Marlowe. Thanks for coming back, brother.
Hell yeah.
He's a veteran of the pod.
Yeah. You've been on ours, Matt's, all of them.
I know. I'm just a talker, I guess.
Hey, no, we like it. I was telling someone the other day that I think the first time we covered you, we covered a SoundCloud song.
Wow.
Yeah, back in the Dizzy, before you were in town.
Crazy. SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Dizzy.
Just weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, it means your career's doing good. Yeah. We asked you back on.
We're we're off of SoundCloud now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sure we're still on it.
Now you're on the radio.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Radio's like SoundCloud, but better, you know?
Yeah. It more pays a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless radio for that.
I know, right?
Dude, gosh. So what you been up to, man?
Dude, nothing. We just kind of wrapped up a tour for the year, and I've just been hunting every day.
That's good, though.
Yeah. Writing and hunting.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
How many days do you get to hunt now that, like, things are rolling?
They're in turkey season, not a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, right in the middle of April and May, but deer season, like, right now, everything's kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
So, my rights are 11, so I go hunt from 4 a.m. to...
Oh, that's sick.
9.
You can come up with some ideas while you're waiting to hear a buck out there.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I go out in the woods and just don't even think about music.
Cleared up.
Yeah.
Makes
1,000%.
Yeah.
I think you're in this like cool spot where it's like you're famous enough to where you don't have to like go to your day job, but you're not like so famous that you don't have any time at all.
Yeah,
you
yeah, know? Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always doing something. I've been home for the last like 2 weeks and it's just felt weird. My That's wife's great. Like, I don't know what to do with you being home. We're just normally married.
You're like, this is what regular people do.
Yeah,
exactly.
1,000%.
Oh, congrats on the marriage, by the way. That was definitely after we had you on last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I was like, dang, congrats, bro.
Thanks, bro. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. Like, I don't know. It's fun.
And you got a song on country radio, which is going up the charts.
Yeah.
Pretty
God
sick.
Willing. Yeah.
God Hopefully. Willing. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like it took forever, and then now it's kind of like moving pretty good. So.
Yeah. That's always a strange thing.
Yeah.
And I remember we had a radio show for a while. We actually, we definitely played you on the radio.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Let's go.
And then we were talking about that. I remember like I worked at Big Loud for a little and they're like, you can't, if you're just on one station, it's fine for you to play a song and then not play it the next week. They're like, but if you have 100 stations and you play a song 1 week, you can't not play it the next week.
Really?
It like messes people up.
Huh.
Because it's like, it looks like it's going down instead of going up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, 1,000%.
So
yeah,
I was like, luckily, we weren't important enough to have 100 stations.
Yeah, it's crazy, like...
Not yet.
Seeing, like, the... How it all works. Because this is my first time on the radio roller coaster, they call it. But,
yeah.
Like, when you get to, like, the 20s and stuff, it doesn't matter anymore, like, about how many streams it has or who likes it. It's just research at that point. It's just people listening to 10 seconds of it and saying... Yeah, I like that. So you're up to the mercy of people getting paid $100 to listen to songs pretty much.
So wild.
You're like, oh, they like mine.
That's the craziest part about it is like there's so much data that goes into everything. Mm-hmm. And even more now than it used to be. You know?
So crazy, dude.
But even the radio, it's like, okay, who are they feeding those songs to? Do they like them?
Yeah.
And then there's data on like this section of the show. So it's not even like your song specifically.
Yeah.
It's like this segment, how many people listened?
Yeah.
How many people changed the station?
It's nuts, dude. I got like a sheet back the other day that's like, or maybe Benji texted it to me. And he's like, this is sweet. And I'm reading it. And it's like 18 to 24 of females are this. And there's like, they got it down to like a freaking science.
It's nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, don't let that affect your making music. Just keep.
Oh no,
good
I don't
songs.
Care. But I don't care. I was looking at it and I was like, "Dang, they like know all this stuff."
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
No, and you had the debut record.
So yeah.
Why don't we talk about that a little bit? Mid-20s crisis.
Yep.
First of all, I love that name.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Thanks.
Because it's hilarious. But also, I feel like every so often there's times where you feel like you're having that.
Yeah.
Right.
And for sure.
I'm in my midlife now, so I definitely have had my midlife crisis. I think starting Raised Rowdy was it. But
yeah. Probably gave you some gray hairs.
I definitely remember my like mid 20s crisis, which is like, I was like, I'm moving to Nashville, you know?
Yeah.
So
1,000%.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
It hit me like this past year, I feel like. So I was just like going through that and got a good title out of it. So.
Dude, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, you've always been a killer writer. Thanks, I mean, man. Even before you were in town.
Thanks.
I remember like Raised on the Radio that you Noah put out.
Yeah,
I was like, damn, this song's so good. And then I was like, oh, De La Marlo, of course it's good. Yeah.
No, but I forgot about that.
Yeah. Are you getting as much time to write as like you kind of used to with being on the road?
I used to see people like, who would I talk to? Like, even people like Dylan. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because I mean, just a year and a half ago, probably, I was writing every day, 4 or 5 days a week. And I was like, he's like, yeah, I just don't have time. And I'm like, I would always have time for writing. Mm-hmm. And then I get into this, the madness of touring. And I'm like, man, I just don't have time because you play 3 or 4 shows a weekend for, you got 10 weekends in a row coming up. And if you go sing for 4 hours at a ride on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, your voice is going to be so tired.
Yep.
So it's like you almost can't just to say, and whatever of saving your voice.
Yep.
And then you just kind of fall out of it and don't have time and
energy.
Yeah.
And you got,
yeah.
And you got a marriage to put time into also.
For sure. So
gotta keep her happy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting though, because the songs I have been writing, like I've been writing less like duds, because when I am writing, it's because a really cool idea has come up that's inspired me to go write it. Not just like, I'm going to force myself to sit down at 11 and write a song.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just living life and then like, oh, this tile comes up and then I sit down and it just pours out and I'm like, man, this is sweet.
That's great.
Kind of nice. So like, I feel like the abundance, like the quality hasn't, or quantity hasn't been there, but the quality's
still
better.
There.
Yeah. So
I think that's a good part of it too. I remember people talking about, you know, when you get that first publishing deal and you really have time to do it.
Oh yeah.
You know, before you have wife, kids, all that stuff, they're like, you're writing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you really,
Two,
I mean,
a day.
Of course you're going to keep writing, but
oh,
you can
go
back and cut those forever.
I know, dude.
You know,
it's crazy, man.
I know. I remember, back in the day, you sent me some work tapes or demos and I still have them.
Oh, really?
Oh, bro. Yeah. There was one that I used to listen to on repeat. Good Old Boy.
Oh,
just
my gosh.
Just an upbeat smash. And it's just a simple song, but it's so freaking good.
Gosh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
it's funny. If you have, like, one bad experience playing a song live, you're like, oh, I don't want to cut it anymore.
You're like,
I had one bad experience because I think I, like, 4 years ago, I came in. Like, the song starts with that intro, like, just the vocal. And I think I came in on the wrong key.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I think somebody had strummed a chord before they hit their, like, octave pedal. And so my mind was where they were and not where it went. And then I was like, oh, I can't ever play a song again.
Well, you have enough hits that it's fine.
It's all right. It's all right. That's funny.
Man, just getting, you know, when I got here in 2020, just you were still around playing rounds and stuff back then. So I got to see, I could think kind of like the tail end of that where you were still like out a lot, you know.
For sure. Yeah, I haven't been out in forever, it feels like.
It's probably for the best.
Gosh. Yeah, I know. Probably is. Yeah, I know.
But, man, it was cool to see that and, you know, just to get to see you go from being a dude that was in Georgia writing songs that were great and moving to town and then now all the success you're having, the big
thanks,
tours.
Bro. It was fun.
You were out with Dan and Shay this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really fun, dude. That was like a I've always, like, loved those dudes and they're super sweet and Shay's, like, in my opinion, probably top 5 singers in town.
Yeah.
I meant, easily.
Easily. Top 3.
Dan,
top
in the
two.
Show, Dan's like, he's the best singer in country music.
Yeah, he is. I mean.
And I'm like, you can make a point.
Yeah.
You know?
It's he just does it night after night. And it was fun to watch their show every night and learn from them. But me and Shay played golf like almost every day. And so cool. That was fun and getting that. I've always been like, Jake's one of my country music heroes. So I got to like tour with him, which was sick and
so cool.
Chat with him. He's got an interesting, like, he always has some like cool, like, angle of everything he thinks about. It's really cool. So
that's awesome.
Fun chatting with him.
Yeah. It's cool seeing those boys, like, the roller coaster of things because they were from Pittsburgh. So I get to see them kind of. They were in Nashville before it started popping, but they'd always come back in Pittsburgh and play, like, you know, like, shows
for
radio stations and stuff.
That's right.
So it's cool to see that. And then Kurt took me to
Bridgestone. Yeah.
I bet that was sick.
With Ben Rector and Haley Wooders. Yeah.
That was sick.
I bet that was sick.
That last year? Late last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Really?
Or maybe it's beginning of this year.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Time goes so fast.
Heartbreak
now.
On the Map.
It does.
Tour,
oh, yeah.
The
yep.
first part.
Yeah, it was the first part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
So that was sick. And
I got to tour with them when I was with Michael Ray. And so it was us, Dan and Shay, and Darius.
Really?
And I remember, like, Shay would just walk around with a guitar and strum some chords. and sing rap about just everything freestyle.
Dude, yeah.
And he can just, it just, music just flows out of that guy.
It does.
It's wild.
He would just do that on the tour. He would just say the most off the dome,
yeah,
craziest, funniest stuff. And he, like,
I feel like a writing session with him is like, you just put a title out and just hit record for like 20 minutes. And then you just go through and like collect all the gold and then you're done.
I know. The worst part about somebody like Shay is he could write the worst song ever and sing it. And you're like, yep, damn, this song's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's like, Stapleton has this song that was on the Ratatouille soundtrack about cheese. And I'm like, of course, Chris Stapleton can make a song about cheese.
Great. And it just sounds, you know, great.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like magic because it's Stapleton.
Gosh.
Is there anything that those guys, like any of these big tours,
yeah,
and like you've learned from them or stuff that you kind of like caught and how the way they do things?
Yeah, dude. Especially out with like, with Hardy. Yeah. I remember seeing just how he like controls the crowd and how he could just say anything and the crowd goes crazy every time he says it.
Mm-hmm.
Like just seeing how they kind of, him and Dan Shay, they were great about it too. Just like, just had the crowd in the palm of their hands the whole show. Like you even catch yourself not even looking around. You're just so like dialed in. And then, it's cool getting to see different tours and like I kind of nerd out sometimes on like the gear,
mm-hmm,
and like the lights and the production, like seeing like Hardy had like a bagillion lights like going nuts because, mm-hmm, more of a rock show. And then, mm-hmm, Dan Shay had these giant like cereal box looking like screens, mm-hmm, less lights, but then that was really cool too. So it kind of like makes you wonder like, oh, what can I take into these clubs and,
yeah,
and like make really interesting. So
one thing I think is so interesting to take from the show is not like what's happening during the songs, but like what happens in between the,
yes,
songs. I think,
yeah,
that's, there's something that's more important there, in a way. Like, Dan and Shay will have these like moments like at Bridgestone where it was like, we can't believe we get to do this and we want to thank you guys. This, mm-hmm, is like a hometown show for us. And it's like when they talk to the crowd in that way. And then like I saw Hardy in Canada and it was just, I don't know what the hell he was doing, but it was just badass. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? He
sick.
Just like riffs with the crowd the way like a comedian would, but it's not funny. You know, it's like serious.
Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah,
it's funny. And then he'll like intro songs in like really unique, cool ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Hardy's was definitely pretty different every night, depending on.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool though.
But yeah, I'm with you. The transitions are like the coolest part to me. Like, cause I can hear the song anytime, but how do you get to it?
Yeah.
And that's what we spend most of our time doing in rehearsals is like,
same.
How do we change it a little bit? Like maybe we start the song with a chorus, like a cappella. Cause,
yep.
Or maybe we like do different hits here and there. Like that's like the fun stuff to me. And that's what I look for when I watch a live show, at least. I'm like, oh, that's super sick how they did that, you know?
So it's crazy how you look at a show differently once you're like in.
Yeah,
the
I'll
mix.
Never go back. I mean,
yeah.
The only time I can go back is if it's not a country show,
mm-hmm,
I think. And it's completely out of my genre. Like I went to a Young Gravy show in Nashville and I just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I there's no band to watch. So I'm just like, all right, he's got a DJ and he's vibing and I had a good time, but,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
We got to see Gravy at a couple festivals last year.
Yeah.
And, dude, see, at a country festival, you know, and just getting to see the crossover of, mm-hmm, country fans with Gravy is wild.
It's funny, dude.
Super cool.
He's a man.
Yeah. Did you get to meet him or anything or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool, dude. Man, it's interesting seeing that, too, because, like, been getting back into going a little bit more rock shows,
mm-hmm,
and then I went to Big X the Plug,
yeah,
last week.
No way.
Oh yeah, dude. It was at Eastside Bowl.
Oh, in Nashville?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like the small room? Like the,
yeah, like that bowling
cap?
Alley?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
really?
Yeah. It was sick.
It's probably 1,000 cap, right?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe 750 or something. Yeah.
That's
I'm
sick.
Not sure exactly what it is, but
I bet
it was sold
hype.
Out. It was sick. And it was just so different vibes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, rap shows, you know, a lot of them are like verse chorus of all the hits.
Yep.
And then DJ transitions and, yeah, like makes a little bit of fun. Mm-hmm.
How long do you play?
Probably an hour.
That's what I'm like. If you're doing verse chorus of a song, it's like, then
that's
you got to do like 50 songs.
Yeah. But there was like, they'd bring out like his boys. So you had like three openers, but the openers weren't like, they weren't doing like a 35, 45 minute set. They'd roll out and do like three songs, right? Or four songs. And then,
really?
There'd be some DJ stuff in between. But what he would do is he brought all of them out during his set too.
Mm.
Right? So that kind of lengthens his set. Like their hit, they probably played in their set, but sometimes their second hit they'd play during
they
his
saved
set.
It.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, and that's like, he had his boys out with him. Like, the Sixers is kind of like his crew. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I don't know if you ever saw a country show like that. Like, Blake Shelton for a few years.
Yep.
Blake would have, there wasn't an opener. He'd pop all the openers up in the middle of the set.
Really?
So, just kind of like made it an experience.
Didn't Trey do that with Kid Rock?
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard about
played,
that.
Trey played Dick Down in Dallas in the middle of Kid Rock's set while Kid went to the back and like, you know, it took a break for 3.5 minutes.
That's awesome. No, I've seen, the only other show I saw that was like that was the Young Gravy show. He did a co-tour with like the dude that's on one of his songs, like Baby Money or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was interesting. Like, that dude started the show and then Gravy came out and played for 20 minutes. And then the other dude came back out for 20 minutes. Gravy came back out and then they stayed out for like 20 minutes.
It's cool.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Just different formatting. Yeah. And I hadn't been to a rap show for a long time. Dude, I mean, I've been seen rap artists at festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'd probably been maybe 4 or 5 years since I've been to like a legit rap show.
That's sick. I've never been to one.
Yeah, it's cool.
I saw LL Cool J at a festival, like that we were playing at.
Really?
Yeah, but it was like same thing, like verse, chorus, next song.
Yeah.
It was sick.
I remember seeing Busta Rhymes back in the day.
Whoa.
And it was like verse, chorus, everything. But then like, the hits, he would play the whole song.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Where, like, even, like, Big X, like, there were only a few whole songs, you know? It was mostly just verse, chorus, and then...
And they just have, like, DJ transitions between each song?
Yeah. And you know how, like, he has, like, the... I don't know what you'd call it. The, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, the little things he says? Yeah. The DJ had that button.
Oh, he had a...
yeah. But it was Big X's voice, you know? So he had, like, three of them.
That's
it was
great.
Really funny. So every time he did it, I was just
was it
like,
bumping?
Oh, bro, it was sick. And it was also wild too. Like you're in Eastside Bowl and you watch this dude go over to the table and roll the fattest blunt you've ever seen in your life and light it up like in the middle of the room, and you're like, oh, all right. Well, that doesn't usually happen in country
shows. That's where
I did not have a blunt rolling at the Big X of plug on the Dylan pod.
Yeah.
You know, but here we are.
Here we are.
Sometimes, yeah.
But crazy. There's crossover with that stuff. I mean. I know he said he was at least partially wrote a song with Wallen.
Really?
Yeah. And then Wallen's on, he's on Wallen's festival next year.
Oh, Big X the Plug is?
Yeah.
That's sick.
So it's like, that stuff's crossing over now, I feel like, more than ever.
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah, we did a version of Boys Back Home with Gravy.
Yeah,
it was
so sick.
It was really sick. It was just, like, fun. Like, I always said I would never do, like, a cross genre, like, of one of my songs that's already out.
Yeah.
And then my A&R Nathan was like, but if you did it, who would it be with? And I was like, I was just on a Gravy kick. So I was like, probably Young Gravy, but I'm not going to do that. And then like a week later, Gravy DMs me and he's like, yo, let's work. And I was like, I text Nathan, I'm like, what'd you do? And he's like, I texted his manager. And so we send him the stems and he wrote his rap verse and sent it back. And it was kind of, I was like, this kind of gas.
Sick.
So
I
that's
love
awesome.
It too. And honestly, dude, like the crossover is so great.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, you're looking at those demos of your songs on radio.
Yeah.
Right? I can guarantee you there's a significant portion that also likes Young Gravy.
1,000%. Right? Yeah.
Easy.
Somebody.
You know?
Somebody does.
Yeah. I'm not saying all the portion, but
some of
it. You know?
For sure.
And, dude, I mean, you like Young Gravy, and you're you.
Yeah.
So other dudes that are like you or girls that are like you
are
probably also like Young Gravy.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Yeah.
It's cool. And just having a co-branded song is powerful.
Yeah,
you know, just like with Dylan and everything, it's like you just really get to like feed each other's fan bases.
Pretty crazy, how that happened, but I'm
and like Nelly and FGL, you know, it's like there's it's happened before.
Yeah. And Tim and Nelly, I mean,
Tim and Nelly,
Tim McGraw.
What song was that?
I don't know.
I heard a demo one time of Dallas singing. That's My Kind of Night by Luke Bryan, and T-Pain's on the demo with him.
I heard that too.
It's pretty fire.
Sick.
But I don't think Luke ever
came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I wonder how many of those there are in the ether.
A lot.
Yeah, I bet.
There's a lot of those, and there's a lot of really funny, like inappropriate songs. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, the Dig Down Dallas had a bunch of remakes and remixes and stuff, right?
Yeah. He has the remix. They had like chatted loosely about doing more stuff with it too. But I don't know if it's like ever gonna happen.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Dang. Super fun.
That's
but,
funny.
Man, I remember when Dick Down in Dallas was happening, they were like, we could get Lil Dicky to be on the track, but it was just so much money and they were independent. So it's like, is it worth $275,000?
Is that how rappers do it? Like they'll, they're like, yeah, I'll do it if you pay me.
Yeah.
Cause in country, it's kind of like, oh, do you like the guy? Does it align with your brand? Do you want to, you know what I mean? Like,
Also, here's something I've been curious about. Cause I'm seeing like a lot of collabs recently. We've talked about it, but like if you agree to collab on somebody's song or you ask someone, it's like, it's not just getting in the studio and singing. It's like, you also have to get together and like do like a music video and do content. Yeah. So it's like a kind of a big ask, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Time wise.
When we did it with Dylan, like I'm really tied with Dylan. So it was easy to be like, hey, can we do this? Mm-hmm. But then like, Stick to My Guns on the record is with Riley.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, he's so busy. Like I'm not going to hit him up and ask him if he wants to come lip sync TikTok videos, like,
mm-hmm.
Or do it's content. Tough. So like, it's definitely an ask because there's a lot. Like, if you really, if it blows up and it's big, then it's worth like, going and doing all that. But yeah, it is a bunch. But I feel like it's becoming more of a thing now to where, we've done a few. I literally didn't have any collabs last year, and then this year we did one with like Avery, Dylan, Riley, Bill Murray. That's my favorite one.
How did that happen?
So Bill Murray is like, his name's Johnny, but he is like a fan of country songs. Mm. And so he would send me.
Is this the comedian?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, like, so it's this guy named Johnny Frank, and he goes by Bill Murray, and it's like really sick. But all of his songs are like meme titles or really funny titles, but then you listen to the song, and it's like, oh, this is fire. It's so sick. And he was just like, he liked the stuff, and we got together and wrote Empty Handed one day, and I sang the demo, and he was like, can we just leave your demo vocal in the second verse, and you'd be a feature on? I was like, yeah, 1,000%.
That's so cool.
And now, like, it's kind of blowing up for him, so.
Yeah. Dude, it's, I mean, I saw the power of that when I worked for Big Loud and did the Hicks Tape record.
Oh, yeah. Just, I forgot you worked for them for a little while.
Yeah, just you put an artist that you might not know as much with an artist that you do know, or you put two artists that you do know really well.
Yeah.
And you put them on the same song. I mean, if you think about social media, they can throttle stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Well, like Spotify's not really doing that. Mm-hmm. If it gets organic reach, they're sending it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the playlist they curate, but like if it's going, it'll go.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's more power in streaming collabs than there is even on like social collabs. You know?
Yeah, I think so too. It's like,
it lives forever.
There's just so many outlets and so many options, and it's so overwhelming sometimes,
bro. But I know, I feel that too.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's always something new, or something's always changing
every day.
Yeah
Like I'll get a text from my team at Sony once a month. They're like, all right, short videos are the thing that's blowing up right now. Mm-hmm. And then a month later they're like, okay, like long form videos on TikTok. And then literally today I get a text and it's like, videos with two people in it are blowing up. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
It is crazy, but it's honestly true.
I know. It's just this, and evidently the TikTok algorithm is like so big now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like its own thing that like people aren't able to like even the people that work at TikTok aren't able to go in and like change anything. It's just this mind of its own now. Pretty crazy.
Oh, boy.
Nuts. Yeah.
The robots, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
We talk about the robots too much, maybe.
Yeah, it's just a constant moving target.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I think the key of all of that is, at the end of the day, great songs win.
Yep.
Right? Good songs, maybe not, but great songs.
Yeah. Win. No, I agree. That's what I'm going to live by, at least.
Yeah. Dude, and that's it. I mean, all those years of being a writer and figuring out, you know, how to say things in a way
1,000%
relates to people, that feeds you for the rest of your life
Sure. Yeah. It's fun to watch it though and see like how it's always changing. And
absolutely agree,
like you said, if something hits on there, dude, it's a rocket.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So let's chat a little bit about that party song. I think we talked about that last time we had you on the pod, but number one song country radio. Was that your first like number one party you got to go to with
yes
that? yeah
It was really cool. There was a lot of speeches.
Yeah.
People have a couple beers and they're like getting on there like talking.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah. This one person talked for like 85 minutes.
Oh man.
I was like, gosh.
That's
wild. Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
They're it's still a big thing, and that's what, you know, we're friends with a lot of songwriters, so those songs mean the world to those writers, man.
It does, man. It changes your life, really.
Yeah.
Teaches you how to pay taxes.
Yeah.
They don't teach you that in school.
First world problem there, bud. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy, though. They don't teach you, like, everything that I need to know that, like, is one of the things that you just, you fail once and then you learn from it. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to start teaching that in school. Like, hey, if you make this much money, set this aside for taxes because it's going to wreck you.
Well, and it's like,
I remember the first time I got by that.
Oh, yeah. You're like, wait, how much?
I was an independent contractor, like teaching guitar lessons, just squeaking by living in Boston. I got my tax back, and I was like, what?
Yeah. It makes you want to throw up. The first call I got from Last Night Lonely, I was on the way back from turkey hunting. Mm-hmm. I was with my buddy Abram Dean and Screech.
Yeah.
And I got an email that was like, all right, we're going to go ahead and set this aside for taxes. And it, my stomach just like dropped. I was like,
hey, at least you got the email before, you know?
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Did you get it after?
Well, I had like hired this guy to help me with my taxes. And he was like, all right, you owe like $3,000, which was like, might as well have been 10 grand or 50 grand or whatever at the time. Because I was an independent contractor and I didn't even think about it because I was, I don't know, 20 years old teaching guitar lessons. Yeah. I made $40 an hour, which was like bank in 2006 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize it was like, I wouldn't put anything beside.
Yeah. So
it was a lot of extra shifts as a busboy.
Just to pay your taxes.
Just to catch back up.
Yeah. They don't teach you about all that stuff in school. They need to.
I think they eventually will, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like knowing when Christopher Columbus crossed a river isn't as important as knowing how to pay your taxes.
Agreed. Yeah. It's a...
I had a class like that that was like teach you how to do resumes and how to interview and stuff like that growing up. Yeah.
Dang.
I forget what it was called.
But. You must have been a rich people high school.
It was a public school.
I'm just messing with
you. Yeah.
No, we had our accounting class and it was kind of like they strongly encouraged you to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it was kind of like part of that was balancing your sheets.
Okay,
you know, like your checkbook, right?
You're old.
Yeah. Yeah, people are gonna listen to this and be like, what's a check?
Yeah. No doubt.
What's a book?
Yeah. 1,000%.
No, but we had some of that and our advisors were like, you should take this because it helps you a little bit with life.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, that's even like we had like wood shop and we had like sewing class.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would much rather know how to I mean it was fun playing with wood, but I've never used that since.
Phrasing, but yeah.
Yeah.
I loved woodshop class, man. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like you make like the duck with like the clothespin mouth on it. And
my mom still has this like deer head napkin holder that I've made.
You built it woodshop?
Bro, yeah.
Hey, you must have built it good then.
No, I did not. Yeah. She just put it on the shelf and never used it.
That's awesome.
But and I had, I don't know, like a Penn State or some kind of drawstring bag I'd made in sewing class, you know?
That's awesome.
But of course it's dead, but man, we got to petition the government to teach people how to actually like pay taxes.
I know.
It's tough. Well, it's crazy. The other thing with like business ownership, and I mean, you are a business owner of your own thing. It's like you don't realize what you can do or how to properly do things that...
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a business advisor,
you
know, someone that's like, well, hey, you took your manager out to dinner. You can use that as this kind of expense, right?
1,000%. Yeah,
you were still taking your manager out to dinner before. You just weren't putting it in correctly.
Yeah. I write so much stuff off now.
Yeah.
You can take Kurt and Nick out to dinner and the drinks and write that off.
Hey, maybe we can get a Tractor Supply after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get some beef jerky and chicken. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, the chickens are actually.
You can each pick out one thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like my mom. Like, can I get a Lego like at Eckerd's or whatever? Yeah. Like, okay, you can get one toy. I get like a Batman or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's nuts.
Let's talk about January for you. Sounds like you're going back out on the road.
Yeah, the end of January we start the mid-20s crisis tour. It's gonna be sick. It's like the biggest rooms we've done yet, so
that's sick.
It's selling really good.
Headlining tour,
yeah,
starting in New York, right?
I think Boston or New York. Yeah it's gonna be sick.
How big are the rooms?
Like 1,000 cap. That's 1,200 sick. Cap. Yeah, we're doing the Georgia Theater, which is like home ground for me. Yeah. So I'm excited. We did a headline tour last year, and they were all like 300, 400 cap. And then things just feel good. So we moved up, and it's been good.
That's great.
Who's coming out with you?
Brian Fuller.
Yeah, I love
Brian.
I just
asked him last week. We haven't even posted about it yet, so maybe it'll be posted by the time this is out.
Yeah,
he's one of my buddies, and he's kind of got some momentum going on. So
yeah. That's cool, too, to be able to get to bring the homies.
I know. Like, I always feel like I've looked at people that did, and it's like, man, it's your tour. You can bring, like, you know, sometimes people are like, well, if we do you this favor, will you bring this person? It's like, I don't want to get into that. Like, I just want to bring who I want to bring, and also who I think, like, my fans will associate with and like. And
who they'll love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that's a big part of it. And, I mean, look at, like, freaking Wallen and Hardy and Earn. You know, those are all homies.
Just bring your buddies.
Yeah.
You know? Bring your own buddy.
Bring your buddies to work.
Yeah.
Tour.
1,000%.
But you know you're going to get along great with Brian.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wonder.
1,000%.
Yeah. That's super cool.
I'm excited for it.
Any rooms other than Georgia Theater that you're super excited about?
The Majestic Theater in, where's that? It's in Madison, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're playing a place in Grand Rapids. I'm pumped because we played the smaller room in Grand Rapids last year, and it was one of the hypest ones. So we're going to play the bigger one. And
is that the intersection?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fun place to play, man.
Yeah. I think we played the one that's like the corner stage last year, and it was insane. So we're bumping up.
I love Grand Rapids. It's so beautiful up there.
It is, dude.
They have good beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I think the best beer I ever had was like a month ago. And you ever been to Golden, Colorado? It's like Denver pretty much.
Yeah. I know where it is, but I haven't been. I've been to Denver.
It's where they make Coors.
Yeah.
And so there's this little thing called Miner's Saloon. It's like this saloon. They open this door and you just look up at the mountains. And then the Coors thing is right down the street where they make it. So they had like a fresh keg that had just been made like the day before. And then you get like a tap Coors Banquet. It's so good.
Dude, fresh beer is wild.
It was so much better.
How much different.
Yes.
I like got on a kick, and then I started buying it here at home. Like, it's still good, but it's not that good. Like,
yeah.
That's what I do with Guinness after touring Europe.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just started drinking Guinness all the time. You know what's funny is, I was talking about this with someone recently, is like, all the best beers of my life weren't like the fancy, most delicious beer, but it's always like, I used to work delivery. Like, when I graduated college, I would ride my bicycle delivering sushi, and the job sucked. And I would always go, and my buddy was like a bartender at California Pizza Kitchen upstairs, and so I would like go and get a beer there, and it was just like always the best.
Yeah,
you know, it's like summer and you're like sweating from riding your bike and you didn't make any money, and then you get that cold beer, which was sometimes free, and it was just the best.
It's the best beer,
so I can imagine, like, you know, being in Colorado, staring at the Rockies, drinking a fresh brewed Coors Banquet would just be delicious.
Nice. Crispy.
Yes.
Yeah. I lived in Pittsburgh for a long time, and there was this bar that had Iron City Light, which is like the light beer of Pittsburgh, basically.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always, you know, Miller Light, all the beers, you know, Bud Light. But they would get the freshest beer, and that was like the beer that they sold the most.
Yeah.
There was that beer, and then Dutch Brothers, I think it was, which is another beer that Iron City made too. And they just tasted different there than they did anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because it was like down the hill from the brewery.
Right there. You know?
Yeah. So
it's crazy, man.
And they rolled through so much that it was always fresh.
Yeah. You know? It is crazy when you drink one like that, and then you drink one out of the gas station, and then you're like, it's still good, but it's just
I was going to say, don't hate on gas station
beer,
though.
No, it's still, I mean, 1,000%.
Yeah. It's crazy. I remember like having craft beers, and like when that kind of hit its peak. And you'd get these hoppy beers that you'd get at the place, like, right after they made it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, man, this is so good. And then, like, a week later, it's, like, not the same. You know,
I've never been, like, a hop dude or IPA. I tried one in Lake Tahoe that was really good. It was, like, a honey wheat beer that was good. But I always just go the same. I'm like, what's the closest you got to, like, Miller Lite?
Yeah, sure.
I need to expand my horizon.
Me and Kurt went and did stouts for a minute.
I do love stouts.
Yeah. Like, those are the dark, deep beers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I do enjoy those, but it's like, you're not drinking six of those.
Yeah.
You know, you're having like a half of one.
I have drank six of those before.
Yeah.
Very hungover the next day.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. My goal in life right now is to not be hungover anymore because it's just so awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So, like, when you have one of those beers, I'm a mess.
Really?
You know? Just because I haven't really been drinking much. Yeah.
Sometimes they're like New Heights Brewery has this beer that is so good. It's called the Navel Gazer, but it's like 11% or something.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I remember I had a 4-pack during COVID. And we'd all get on Zoom and catch up with like all the buddies I tour with and different friends. And so we'd all get on there and drink and just hang out like we would when we weren't all at our houses or whatever. I remember like ending the Zoom call and I drank 4 of those and I was like, I'm hammered. I'm just like in my house. Gosh. And the next day I was like,
That's the other thing too, is like the wheat beers and the unfiltered beers. Mm-hmm. Like if you can't see through it, your body is processing all of that stuff that you can't see through, you know? So
yeah,
just filters it a different way than those lighter beverages.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
You gotta learn about the beer.
Hey, no, you're good. Yeah. Just drink what you like, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. As I get older, that's more important.
Yeah. I remember my program director, cause we, you know, had that radio show in Pittsburgh and he was like, Nick, I love that you don't make fun of me for the things that I drink. Cause he would drink like White Claws and like rum. I'm like, bro, I don't care what you drink.
Yeah.
Like it has no effect on me. I'm not going to give you crap.
Yeah. 1,000%.
I'm like, just cause I'm a white trash redneck doesn't mean I'm like going to give you crap for drinking a seltzer. Like, give me one of those seltzers, dude. Yeah. You know?
Our old keys player would drink vodka, Sprite, grenadine. It was like a Shirley Temple with like, literally sweet. And we kind of made a joke about it one time, and he's like, I don't give a fuck what you guys say. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, we're like, okay, that's actually kind of badass.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I drink these. They're great. They're free, too, which is the best.
And they also taste very good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, they're iced tea vodkas, no bubbles. They're good.
Huh.
I'll give you 4-pack. You can take them home.
Yeah, I'll try them. Yeah. If I could be hard to drink tea, this is not just sweet tea.
Yeah. This one doesn't taste like sweet tea, but it definitely artificial sweetener.
It's I shouldn't say sweet spot, but it is where it's like not too sweet.
Yeah.
But it's not unsweetened.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
The problem with these are if you drink these on a hot summer day, you're going to drink like 10 of them.
Yeah. Because
there's no carbonation.
Yeah.
So you
really?
Boop, you can just delete them.
Yeah.
Delete them.
Yeah.
Just control alt delete them.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to be a drinking song there.
That's great.
Yeah. Control, alt, delete this beer. You can have that one for free.
We won't
take a third. That's amazing.
Dylan will write it, but he won't put his name on it.
He's not going to write that. No, it's not good enough.
That would be the one that you write, and then you're like, yeah, we're not even turning this in.
Yeah. 1,000%.
You get one of those every now and then.
Yeah, like, with the boys having too good of a time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ride out on the road at all? Or,
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By yourself or sometimes with who you're out with? Or?
Mid-20s Crisis was a road ride by myself. And then my guitar player and utility guy, he's like, they're always like creating cool stuff. So I'm just like,
sick.
If they play something cool, I kind of selfishly walk in the back lines. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, it's just a vibe we started. Oh. I'm like, can I hop in on that?
I will speak from experience. It's like, they're doing that, so you walk in the back.
I mean, it works. It gets me. I'm like, listen. I'm like, what is that?
I remember we were on tour in Australia last year, and Jamie, our guitar player, is a really good songwriter. Jamie Davis, you probably know him.
Yeah.
He's a hunter too. But we're on tour with Kojo, and he had written a song. It was like cowboy something some cowboy song, and so he was like jamming it, working it up or whatever, and then he like green room was next door to Kojo, so he like swung the door open and was like cowboy menace singing it, and then he was like, he said he was fishing, you know, and then he said Kojo popped his head in and was like, what are y'all singing? And he's like, well, actually, here's a song we just started if you want to hop in on it or whatever, and he was like, oh man, it sounds really good. But then he was like, I got enough cowboy songs. And he was like, it bit, but then, you know, got off the
spit
line.
The hook out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had it in his mouth.
Can't blame a guy for trying, though.
No, I mean, hey.
Hey, that's it. I remember telling my buddy, I was like, if you want a pub deal and you're on the road with someone, the best thing you could do is write a verse chorus of 100 songs. Yeah.
1,000%.
You know?
1,000%.
It's like, someone's going to want to get in on that with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about your writing process. Are you often, so I know you're talking about some solo writes, but mostly co-writing or
kind
of mix?
Mostly. Like right now I have like 4 or 5 different verse courses that I've just kind of written by myself that I save when I go write with Joe.
Nice.
And then I let Joe make like a really cool track for it. And
yeah.
he kind of like knows me just as good as I know me. So like, I like hearing his opinion on where I should go with stuff. And
yeah.
But I feel like you kind of got to protect it a little bit, because you can totally take the wrong idea into the wrong room.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With like the wrong people, and it'll just ruin it.
Yeah.
So I try to like protect them a little bit. Sounds kind of weird, but.
Well, I've noticed some songwriters that have an idea for a song, like if they're the artist, and they're like, this is the title, this is how I want to write it.
Yeah.
They go into a room, this is the hook, this is how I want it to be delivered. If they're like, someone's like, what about if we do it like this? They're like, I'm like, hey, I want to write it this way, and if it's not this way, then we can write something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1,000%. That happened. That's like one of my pet peeves. But it's like, you don't want to be disrespectful and be like, oh, my way's right, you know, because I might be wrong. But then, like, usually if I bring it in, it's kind of, I'm like, vulnerable. I'm like, this is what I kind of what I want to do. And they're like, oh, but you could change it to like put a girl in it. I'm like, God dang it. It's always, they're like, well, it, I mean, it just won't go to radio if it doesn't have a girl in it. Like, yeah, no, 1,000%. That's one of my pet peeves. I'm like, man, if I bring it in, let's just write it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm not opposed to like changing it if it's better.
I feel like if I'm in a writer's room with an artist such as yourself, especially one that's such a good writer, if you came in and were like, let's write this, I would just be like, yes.
Dude, that's how I am like with other artists.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's hop in. Because like, usually I know like if I'm excited and then somebody just shoots it down, I'm like, ah. I'm
right. Read the room there, guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like most people are smart enough, but there's a few.
Yeah.
There's a few.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, it's like if a writer like has like had some shit working or like has success, it's like they have some confidence in it, then maybe they can bring it to a place it needs to be.
1,000%.
But if it's like, it's just because it's not going to go to radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 1,000%.
It's a tough thing, man. There's a mix between art and knowing what the demo is, too.
Yeah, and it's so tough because, like, I know, like, songwriters aren't getting paid that much unless it goes to radio, so I totally understand, like, going in, people are taking time out of their day, they want to write, and they're aiming for a radio hit because they're writing with people on purpose because they're on radio, so I get it. But then from the artist side, sometimes it's like, man, if I, you know, really need this to put this song out, like write this song today, like I need to go there, you know? It's kind of a weird thing, but I totally understand the wanting the radio thing.
Yeah.
But
I think that's a different thing too, based on like if there is an artist in the room.
Yeah.
Or if, especially if you're bringing a song and you're the artist.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're coming in with a hook.
1,000%.
And you're the artist, you're like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah,
you
know?
But if you're coming in, you have this crafted idea in your head. Even if it comes out great, if it's not how you want it, you're not going to cut it.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%.
So
there's like very little things. I feel like us artists are like very like gun shy. If like one little thing throws it off, you're like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
Do you think that with the way that radio is going and that how much money songwriters make from streams, that there's just going to be less songwriters in general?
Less signed songwriters.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, everyone's always going to write songs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But like less like people that are just songwriters. Like, I'm just a writer. Is that even going to be a viable profession?
I don't know.
I think it will be a viable profession. Yeah.
I hope so.
There's got to be a way. Like there's just got to be like a better way to pay songwriters if it does. If I don't know, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, I've reached out to some folks that I know over at Spotify to be on the podcast, and it was like
they don't want to step into that.
Yeah.
Well, there's
I wasn't gonna like bust their balls about it.
No. Yeah. But there's not a lot of benefit to them being on our podcast.
Zero.
Yeah. It's just us asking them stupid questions like, that they answer.
So
a thousand
why
times.
Aren't you paying songwriters?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to learn more. You know.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I'm sure there's a whole lot. I mean, you think about it. I don't know. It's a business.
Yeah.
They're you're giving them $15 a month and they're sending it to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just, yeah, I don't know.
Have you ever written songs for, like, Sync or anything like that?
No, I haven't.
So that's another thing that I think you'll see more of in the future.
Yeah, they pay good. My song was on Fox News the other day, which is sick.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was on, like, I guess not the news one, but the Fox News, like, sports one when they were, like, after they're, like, reviewing some games.
Which song?
Boys Back Home.
Oh, that's great.
And all my people back home were like, you're on Fox News.
Did they show you? Or
no, it was just the song.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm sure I made something off of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
On there. But yeah, I remember Abram made like really good money off of a Sync deal he did with like Royal Caribbean. And then they gave him a free They gave him and like the two people he wrote the sync song with like a free cruise week to like write more sync stuff for them. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's just like a quick little payday.
Mm-hmm. I've done some sessions recently where like I'd go to do an overdub at like a studio. It was in East Nashville. And I'm like, so like, are you a songwriter? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, so like, who are you working with? He's like, I just do sync stuff, dude. And he just like writes like vibes, I guess. I kind of hate to use that word, but like,
yeah,
you know, like little things. And it's like, it just puts it on some website and then uh-huh. he gets it placed in TV. You know, it's like mm-hmm. some pharmaceutical commercial or something.
Really?
Yeah. And my buddy Julian, who is like the best musician I know, he just like, he does that, but it's like, he like is a sync writer for like classical music. So he writes like fugues and stuff and it goes like on commercials and he makes great money doing it.
Really?
I think that is where some of songwriting is going to go.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like
maybe so.
You're going to write your songs that where you want to write, but mm-hmm. then you're also like have a retreat where you guys are going to write songs for a movie or a television yeah. show.
I'm sure. So I know some people that do it for like Yellowstone, try to like mm-hmm. aim for that.
Mm-hmm. Twister was so successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, that, dude, I'm like, again, like when I was a Big Lad, like there was a person whose job fully was getting syncs for
really
that. Yeah, I'm sure that's the same thing at Sony.
Yeah, I'm sure,
you know,
there
it's
is.
Like, yeah, it's just another stream of revenue, you know, and that's a good way to
yeah
to balance the balance sheet for a writer or definitely. An artist writer, yeah. you know, whatever. And I mean, again, like if it's your song that you're on the master of, then
yeah,
you're getting paid on that side of it too.
Yeah, you a lot know? Of money.
So I think that we'll always see professional songwriters. In my head, the number may decrease just mm-hmm. because the dollars aren't there. They,
yeah.
If the publisher's not making more money than they're paying you, they're not going to be keeping you around.
Yeah.
Right? But and that yeah. number is just harder to get to than it used to be when you sold physical albums.
It is, dude. Yeah. yeah. It's like a pretty crazy environment out there right now. It feels yeah, like
for sure. But and it's evolving. I mean,
yeah.
What's the world gonna do when radio is not radio anymore in 20 years or whatever?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. However long it is, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
Well, at least you're selling tickets.
Yeah,
which is sick.
Yeah, I mean that's been our goal is to establish like the fan base because
yeah.
you could have as many viral things as you want, but if you don't have something to fall back on, like I don't know. But that's what I don't judge. Like I say, judge. Like I don't keep my like tally on. How many streams I have or how many hits I have. I do it like, okay, when we go to this city, how many tickets can we sell?
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that matters to me. Because mm-hmm. you can look around and see somebody could have 20 million monthly listeners or 100,000, and the one of the 100,000 could be selling tickets. It's like,
yep.
So I try to look less at those numbers and more at just like, okay, we're pulling crowds here and here and here, and that's what matters, you know?
Yeah. I remember last time we had you in, we were talking about upbeat songs for the live set.
Yeah.
What is a live set like now? Like a full
dude,
show?
Dude, I don't know. It's about to be even crazier with this record.
Yeah.
Some of the songs, like 5 or 6 of the record songs are like just purely for the show. So it's going to, mm-hmm. we did a record release show the other night. We just went top to bottom and it was the hypest thing ever. Just with the new songs, like how hyped they are. And so the headline tour is going to be probably pretty nuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys are rebuilding the set for that.
Yeah, whole thing. Yeah.
Because how long you guys played with Dan Shea and all on those tours?
Dude, like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you're about playing to be 75 to 90.
Yeah.
I love playing longer. Like, if my voice feels good, like, I want to go. So I'm probably going to have a couple audibles in there and stuff. And
that's cool.
That's what we call them, too, audibles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be sick. So many upbeat, like, you know, some of the pop, punky, country stuff that's on there. This has been really fun to play live. We played it once or twice the other weekend, and it was just like, it sucked because we only played it twice. And we're like, man, that was so much fun. Yeah. So I'm ready to get to play those every night.
Dude, enjoy the clubs, man.
Yeah.
I kind of miss them sometimes.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. People are like, man, just soak it in.
Take your time.
I am, dude. I'm going to have fun.
Well, and it's like going from smaller clubs to these big clubs now, too.
Like having stage space and the crowd now. Like before, it was like, okay, we got a sick crowd that's here for just us, but no room. Mm-hmm. Now we have a sick crowd and room to run.
Yeah.
You know?
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, the clubs is fun, but it's, you know, it's nice having a bus and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a game changer for sure.
How long have you been in the bus?
Since that Hardy tour,
yeah.
halfway through that, I guess. But my voice has just like tremendously benefited from the bus. Because, you know, we traveled on that short bus and it was, I think we pulled a meter out and it was 87 decibels all the time.
That's wild.
So we're talking over that every day. My voice would be tired before we even got to a show, the first show.
And, do you still have that?
Yeah.
No, I imagine it's in Georgia. Keep it. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep it as long as we can. That's sick. Be cool to have one day.
In the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, just a short bus. Dylan's
short bus.
Hey, that'd be pretty high, dude. Just drive it up there and put it in the museum.
Yeah. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Leave it outside. Let them, like, tour it out there.
Hell yeah.
That would be a sick, what's that? What do you call it? Engagement or?
Activation.
Activation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My suit terms.
Yeah, when you're playing the show, when you're playing Bridgestone, you know, come get your photo out of, or something. I don't know.
Pop that sick.
Yeah.
Pop that sucker out there.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yep.
That's have a right semi just for the short bus.
Yeah. Yeah. You can put up, like, your first number one plaques and stuff in
there. Yeah, that would be cool.
Or you can do a podcast in it.
Yeah, you could.
Just a really loud podcast, short, like,
87,000. <Yeah. laughs>
Caught short bussing with the boys.
Yeah. And girls.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Have the girls on, too.
Well, I'm super stoked for your tour, man. Congrats. Thanks, on that.
Yeah, man. You'll have to make it out to one if y'all aren't
doing something.
Well, we've been known to road trip at the Georgia Theater.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Yeah. It's I think it's sold out. It's going to be sick.
Well, we know a guy, so.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
But
it's, man, on a Valentine's Day, too. So yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's cool to watch everything grow, man.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. So proud of you and all the shit, man, that you've been grinding on for so many years.
Yeah. It's been fun. I feel like we're doing it the long way, but it's paying off. So
it is.
Good, man.
Yeah.
Building real fans, man.
Yeah.
There's no shortcut to that.
For sure.
Ones that'll stay with you forever.
No shortcut. Yeah.
There isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Heck yeah.
Well, thanks for being here, brother.
Thanks for having
taking
me, bro.
The time to do this with us.
Of course. Yeah. About to go to Tractor Supply. And get
there
some
you
more.
Go.
Come on.
Maybe we'll see you again next year.
Yeah.
You
know? Just do our annual Raise Rowdy podcast.
Yeah. Hey, we're in, man.
Heck yeah.
As often as you have time, we appreciate you taking the time to be out here
with
us.
Let's go. Heck yeah.
Well, I'm Nikki T.
Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row. Thanks, dude.